All right, so it's after Christmas, and I trust that around here we're not the sort of people to be focused more on the stuff of Christmas, the doing, the things, gift-getting more than giving. But it's still easy to think of the Christmas season as over, sometimes even like, you know, the minute it hits December 26th. And to a certain extent, it's okay for us to think in terms of seasons being over. We live in time. That changing of seasons is just a normal part of life. God set it up. But truths about the incarnation shouldn't really stay here and only at this time, and especially not, especially they shouldn't leave our minds quickly. So, there's one particular segment of the Christmas story that has been on my mother's heart for many years now. Elizabeth's prophecy to Mary. Mom was struck by just how many different things Elizabeth confirmed to Mary. And I believe this passage can help us to keep the real meaning of Christmas in our hearts, always, all year long. We prepare our hearts through the confirmation of the truth. Let's go ahead and pray now. Father, we thank you for giving us an opportunity to come together and to learn from your word. We thank you for giving us your word, and honestly, that there's so much of it. Please help us to treasure it always. Help us to look at it carefully and to get as much as we can out of it, and to use it to glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the story of Elizabeth and what she confirmed to Mary begins a little bit earlier in Luke 1 than that. And to be most accurate, it actually begins later in time with the author of this gospel. We begin at verse 1, and we'll go to verse 4, where Luke explains the purpose of his gospel. He writes, "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed." Theophilus we take to be a Christian, and some people have suggested a more representative. It's okay if the name Theophilus means lover of God, and we can understand that applying to any believer who loves God, but also to this particular person Luke was writing. He'd been instructed in Christianity, but he needed what he'd heard confirmed. He needed, as Luke points out, the eyewitnesses, people who knew what had happened. So the idea of confirmation is baked into the whole purpose of Luke's writing. And to set a bit of background, we have, after that, the announcement of John's birth to Zacharias. We know how that happened. We've heard this many times before. But Zacharias, a priest, he was serving, and the angel Gabriel appeared to him. Gabriel told him that despite his wife's age, he was going to have a son, and that this son was going to prepare the way for the Messiah. We also know that Zacharias, he didn't really believe that, so Gabriel made him speechless, literally, unable to speak. After that, we have Christ's birth announced to Mary, and Mary did believe. We note in particular that in verse 36, after predicting to Mary, after Gabriel told Mary that the Messiah would be born to her, Gabriel says to Mary, "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. So it is possible that Mary could have taken that a number of different ways. That could have been taken as a hint. Maybe I could go visit my relative. Or perhaps it was, well, you know, this is an angel straight from the Lord. I really got to go. But starting in verse 39, we hear that Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. Haste indicates importance. So, however she took what Gabriel said about her relative, she went, and went quickly. Now, it is important to note that it was a distance, a ways to go. Gabriel had to tell Mary that Elizabeth had conceived. So they probably didn't see each other quite that often. Some sources seem to suggest the distance was something like 80 to 100 miles. And my first instinct when I hear something like that is to think, oh, wow, that would have taken forever. But in reality, a few basic details indicate that it wasn't quite that difficult, that it was more manageable than that. And primarily, major point for why that would be the case is that humans can walk more than 1 mile per hour. If you have animals, they might even be able to walk a bit faster than that. Some have suggested this could have taken as little as 3 days. Whether it did or not, whether Mary was able to leave immediately or not, that still leads us to an important conclusion when we get into things Elizabeth's prophecy confirmed to Mary. The first of these is that Mary was pregnant. This isn't something that you can just know, especially that early in a pregnancy. Some people might be able to pick up on some things, and people often say women always know. I'm bragging a bit, but I've had some success guessing such things. But normally you don't figure that out the moment somebody enters your door. It says, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And so there is the second thing, that this was a special or unusual blessing from the Lord. At Gabriel's message, Mary had expressed willingness, but that didn't mean she was always going to feel like it was a blessing. Yes, her path involved difficulty. So what Elizabeth said surely helped Mary, just in general, but also in particular, since there could have been some stigma behind this. Mary could have been thinking, are people going to treat me differently? Are people going to look down on me? Is this all going to be weird? And so Elizabeth's response is kind of like saying, well, yeah, of course it's weird, but not that kind of weird. I know it's good. Isn't it great that God has put us in the same weird boat? She had people behind her. And quite frankly, to apply this a bit, it's always a good thing to have that in our lives as well. That's one of the purposes of the church. As we move on to verse 43, we read, but why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? That's a big one. Another thing that Elizabeth's prophecy confirmed was the identity of the child. It would have been possible to understand the deity of the Messiah from a number of Old Testament passages, number of passages in the Hebrew Scriptures. But people found it difficult to accept. Part of the reason for that is it was difficult to accept then and difficult to accept now because it confuses people. There were also interpreters at the time who had a lot of motive not to come to that conclusion. But she still believed that the child to come was her Lord. And there is an important point there about knowing your place. We read a few verses later that Mary acknowledged her own need for a Savior, and Elizabeth takes a position even lower than that, even lower than Mary's. There is a parallel here to what John would do later at the baptism of Jesus, in that John said, in different ways, in different Gospels, that Jesus was superior to him, over him, that John did not consider himself worthy for that task. Verse 44, as we continue, says, "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." So, you could count that, or not, Elizabeth knowing her own baby's emotions. That maybe doesn't seem like quite the same thing, but there is a bit that could be said about that. So it's worth saying, the Holy Spirit is not an emotion, nor is the filling of the Holy Spirit for the purpose of emotion. It is for a goal or service. Some commentators have suggested that John, in Elizabeth's womb, jumping for joy, was taking his first baby steps at being a forerunner to prepare the Messiah. Maybe, I don't know, that might be a little much, or maybe it's not enough. But either way, how much can a baby be expected to do? Especially when he hasn't been born yet. So, he needed the help here. It's kind of like Elizabeth was coming alongside and getting to participate in John's work of preparation. So, and another worthwhile thing to consider, the way the ideas here and the people in this passage come together gives an important lesson just generally for how we should serve God. There is no one too young or too old, even the smallest, have a place in God's grand plan. Verse 45 itself has a lot in it. We read, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Now there is a slight difference of translations here. I should have mentioned earlier, I'm using the New King James Version, and my Bible has a note. It says it is also possible to translate it as, "believed that there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Either way, there is still an emphasis on the fulfillment. Mary could expect this to be fulfilled. But to consider the point of Mary having been told this as another thing that Elizabeth confirmed to Mary, God gives people different ways of serving him, different tasks, and sometimes they're sure of that. Sometimes people say some things and you can't be sure whether that's what God gave them to do or not. I can't know that. I can't just know whether people have been pushed one way or another by God. But Elizabeth knew this because it was revealed to her by the Holy Spirit. Furthermore, she confirms that the message was in some way from the Lord. We don't hear that Elizabeth knew all of the specifics of that. She just says, "told her from the Lord." It could have been that she knew all about the fact that it was Gabriel who came, or not. In fact, we don't even know if she picked up on any similarity between her own case and Mary's as regards who specifically was sent to give the message. It is possible that only the basics were communicated to her by her husband Zacharias. Zacharias being speechless, may have been only writing down the most basics to her, and you might have even been a little frustrated by the whole thing and basically saying, with writing, I don't want to write about it, or don't want to write about it much, either way. But in any case, this verse also shows that Elizabeth was able to confirm that Mary believed. You can sometimes tell when people believe something from God or not. To take a bit of an odd example for this sort of thing, we have the book of Jonah, and Jonah, while he seemed to have believed what God told him, he made it very clear to the people who were sailing with him that he was doing the opposite of what God wanted. So, people sometimes give you indications one way or another where they are, what direction they're going, but usually you don't know it quite that specifically. So, again, the power of the Holy Spirit telling Elizabeth that Mary believed and letting Mary know. It's valuable that people know you believe that you're following what God wants. Finally, we have the eighth thing that Elizabeth confirmed to Mary, that Mary would be blessed. Some suggest this was only a blessing for her belief, and some say it was only as a result of the events that were going to transpire. I'm inclined to include both Mary's faith and the events that were predicted as a source of blessing for her. But in general, we find much in the New Testament to go along with this message, this value of confirmation and how it can prepare your heart. Consider, for example, the beginning of Philippians. Paul expresses confidence that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He follows this up by referencing his work in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. That last part is right up my alley, but not everyone has to do exactly that to the same degree. Aren't you glad that God gives us different things? That even like Elizabeth and Mary, there's a certain element of uniqueness in what each of them had, but not absolutely unique. They were both able to minister to each other. To list another example, Peter, near the beginning of his second letter, lists virtues that we should stack one on top of another. And after a bit more instruction, he says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." A few verses later, he addresses the topic of confirmation a bit differently, talking about all that the eyewitnesses of Christ saw. He says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." And we can add, how much more have we seen confirmed by this point, the working of God through history, more prophecies fulfilled, that kind of thing. But we can connect this even closer to some of the figures in this text. Even John the Baptist needed confirmation late in his life. In Luke 7 and Matthew 11, I believe it was, I failed to get it written down in my notes. He had to send people, once he was in jail, to ask Jesus, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" So Jesus responded to those messengers, citing the signs that he did, the healing of various ailments, even raising people from the dead. But he ends that list with, "The poor have the gospel preached to them." The gospel is the ultimate preparation of the heart, because it is about how God gave humanity his Son, Jesus, who died for everything we've done wrong. This forgiveness prepares the heart for life with God that lasts forever. So throughout the year, carry the lessons of Christmas with you. Let them prepare your heart for everything God wants you to do. Let us dismiss in prayer. Father, we thank you again for your word, and we thank you for the example of the people in your word. Please help us to understand your word correctly and to bring your light to others, to carry this throughout the year, to magnify you, and to help people to be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.